Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful morning. Beautiful.
Amen.
I can't think of a better place to be than here at Fairport Baptist Church this morning. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So welcome. And for some announcements, let's see here. We've got to put the specs on. Valentine's dinner, Friday, the 14th at 6 p.m. includes shrimp, baked potato, salad, and dessert. Sign-up sheet will be in the fellowship hall. Please sign up by the 9th. That's today.
That is today.
Today. So please, if you haven't and you want to be here, go sign up. Men's fellowship breakfast, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. in the fellowship hall. All church men are encouraged to attend. Sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. If you haven't been coming to that, you need to. You're missing something. Not only the food, but the fellowship. And children and youth, Winterfest Saturday the 15th, 5 to 7. Dinner will be provided and all ages are welcome. Parents are welcome to stay or drop off the children. There will be crafts, games, devotion, sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. See Michelle Jenkins with all your questions. Ladies' luncheon, Thursday, February the 20th at Lead Belly's Restaurant. Arrive at 11:30. The sign-up sheet is in the fellowship hall. See Bootsy Burgess with any questions. And Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday the 24th at 7 p.m. Okay, any other announcements? Anything I missed? Anything? Anybody? Got everybody covered. Okay. All righty. I'm going to ring the bell. We'll have some time of fellowship, and then I'll ring it again, and you'll have to sit back down. All right, you may be seated. If I didn't ring that bell, y'all might be at it all day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege, this honor, to be here in your presence this morning in this here, your house. And we thank you for this church that you provided for us. We thank you for each and every member that is here to know we're part of this church. That's what makes the church, is this people. And we pray that as we've come together in fellowship, we've come together in kindred mind and spirit with yours, that we offer you the worship and praise that you're worthy of, and to thank you for the gift of salvation. For this we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Immortal, invisible, God, only wise.
Billy is not here today. There's stuff going around this time of the year, and he's under the weather. So I will call the music, but I'm not much of a music leader, but y'all going to have to help me, okay? So our first hymn is 505, He Touched Me. Okay, 505, He Touched Me. Serve him. 520.
Good morning, everybody. I am here. I'm still up here. I enjoy sitting back there and singing with the choir. Come on forward, kids. Come on down. It's good to see everybody. And may I also add, it's great to see some new faces here today, and great to see some familiar faces here today. I hope everybody's doing well. Hey, JoJo, how are you? It's good to see you. Hey, man, what you got? Everybody have a good week?
Yeah.
You got what? Oh, yeah, look at that. Valentine's candy. So today is really exciting day for a lot of people who like sports. Do you know what today is or what game's going to be today? The Super Bowl. That's right. Who's everybody pulling for? Is Philadelphia or Kansas City? Kansas City.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia for you? Okay. Well, I tell you what, I'm still pulling for Washington. Aren't I silly? I know I'm in trouble. I like the jersey that Jim was wearing a couple of weeks ago with the Washington colors on it. But you know what? Some people pull for teams because they just want to be on a winning team. But I'm here to tell you that you guys already have a winning team. Being here is a winning team. What is it, Taylor?
I like the Eagles because I like the old quarterback.
The old quarterback?
I mean the running back.
Oh, the running back. Yeah, that's good. But you know what? We're all on part of a winning team. What winning team are we on? Jesus. We're on God's winning team. And that's a really cool thing. You know, in order to win a Super Bowl, you have to have a good coach. Yeah. You have to have a good coach in order to win a Super Bowl. And we're fortunate we've got God as our coach. And with Him, anything and everything is possible. And we are so lucky. And you know what else a Super Bowl team has to have? They have to have a playbook full of plays. Do we have a playbook?
Amen.
What do we have? We've got a book. It's called the Bible. And it's full of wonderful plays. And if we follow our coach and read this playbook, good things will happen. So I want you guys to remember that as you watch your game today. Also notice that they have teammates on their team. Lots of good players. Like Taylor, you said the running back. He's important, but he needs the blockers in front. Well, you know what? We're all a part of a big team that God gave us. And He's our coach, and He gave us the Bible as a playbook, and He gave each of us as teammates. And I want you guys to remember that when times are tough and things aren't going your way, you can count on everyone in this room to be on your team because we're part of God's team. So I hope you have fun tonight if you get to watch a little of the Super Bowl. You know, when I was your age, there might not have been a Super Bowl. There wasn't a Super Bowl, but I was about your age. The Super Bowl started, and it was in the middle of the afternoon so I could watch it. Now it's at night, so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But I want you guys to remember, when you watch the Super Bowl, think about our coach, God, and think about our playbook, the Bible, and think about all our teammates. They're blocking for you and they're helping you. Let's say a little prayer before you go back. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day and allowing to come to your house. We give great thanks that you are our special coach and that with the playbook that you've given us, we can succeed and we will lead to victory. Please be with each and every one of us as we go forth this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. I hope you have a great day. And good luck with that football game. JoJo, it's so good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Hey, guys, and it also looks like we could have a little wintry weather this week. It's looking more and more like Tuesday into Tuesday evening could be messy. So take a minute to check on your neighbors and friends. That's always important this time of year. And we will keep you informed if there are any closures or anything like that. But please, with the weather coming this week, take a moment. It's always good to check on your friends. And if there's anybody that needs some special attentions, if you'd please drop me a note and let me know so we can address it. Thanks, guys.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, this hour of worship. We've come to hear from you. We've come to hear what you have to say to us. And we've come to feel your spirit moving among us. And we've come to open up our spiritual ears and minds, that we come of one kindred mind, that with yours. As it says in the scriptures, we're to have the mind of Christ. And we thank you so much that you have given us your Son, that you've given him as our Lord and Savior, and that we know that he is the founder and the foundation of this church, and that we look to him for the daily needs. We look to him for our guidance, and help us to be obedient to him as we go each day. And we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that we have it before us, that we have it to hear messages from, we have it to study, we have it to meditate upon and pray upon, and to give us the instructions we need for life, and help us to be obedient to it. And we pray, Father, for each and every one of us here today, that we are aware of those people that we come in contact with each day around us, especially those that are lost. We'd be sensitive to your spirit, because we know that there are times that you provide us times that we can share the gospel. We can share our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with others. Let us be sensitive to that and take those opportunities that you offer up to us. And we pray for forgiveness of our sins, our shortcomings, the times we've done or said things we shouldn't. And as we look at your message today, to know that we need to guard our tongues, what we say and how we say it. And we pray that you would be with those that recently lost loved ones, that you would comfort them through these difficult times and comfort them in the ways that only you can. And to be with those on our prayer list, those that need your healing hand, that you would bring about wholeness in their lives. And those that are out because of sickness, you would bring them back. And we pray now as we go through the service, all this is your glory and honor as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. 571, trust and obey. 571, trust and obey. All rise. We'll do the first, second, and fifth. Okay? First, second, and fifth. There was this wealthy man. He got on an airplane to take a trip. He'd never flown before. And it was in the evening. And of course, you know, when you start up those engines, you know, the fire comes out of them and all of that. Oh, he saw all of that. Oh, he's starting getting worried. They took off down the runway and, you know, up into the sky. And it was a bad evening. It was turbulence. I don't know if you've ever been in a plane when it's real turbulent. And one time I was on a plane and the stewardess came over to see if she could help me. And while she was talking, we hit a pocket and she hit me in the forehead with her fist. And she's apologizing. But it was rough. But it was rough. The plane, you know, had to shake. And you see the wings out there shaking and all of that stuff. So about halfway through the flight, he said, "Lord, if you get me back down on the ground safely," he says, "I'll give you half of everything I owe." So sure enough, they got back on the ground, and he got off the plane. He's headed for the terminal, and this gentleman walks up behind him and says, "Excuse me, sir." He says, "I'm a minister." He said, "And I ever heard the promise you made to the Lord, and I'm here to collect." He says, "I'll tell you what, I'll make you a better deal. If you ever get on another one, you can have it all." There were four high school boys who were late for their morning classes. They entered the classroom and swore to the teacher that they were late because they had a flat tire. The teacher smiled and told them it was too bad because they had missed a test. But he was willing to let them make it up. He gave them each a piece of paper and a pencil, sent them into the four corners of the room, told them they would pass if they could answer just one question: which tire was flat? Today we're going to look at "Thou shalt not swear" as we continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus has to say about oaths, swearing, and truth. Jesus says our conversation should be trustworthy, straight to the point, and factual, not injected with oaths and profanity. A man's word and character are to be his guarantee. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37, if you want to open your Bible there. And of course, if you want, you know, there's an outline there if you want to take notes or just keep up with that. But Matthew 5, 33 through 37. "Again, you've heard it, that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea for yea, nay for nay, and for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." First, what is an oath? It is a promise or a covenant. God made promises that were considered a part of his covenant with man. Man would have freedom of choice. Man is made in the image of God. God made us. We're not puppets on a string. We're a free will to pick and choose what we want to do and where we want to go. We can choose to follow God, or we can choose not to. That's our choice. And people will say, "Well, God made this person, that's why they did that and did that." No. They did not. It's their own free choice. God said he would send a Savior to save man from his sins. Amen. Do you know when God made that promise? He made it in Genesis. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, God said he would provide a Savior. And you know, he had that plan before Adam and Eve ever sinned in the garden, before he ever put first. He knew what was going to happen. So he made that promise. He's kept it. God would not destroy man by water. Sent the rainbow. That's something I learned when I was just about this big from my mother. That the rainbow was a promise. Because God flooded the earth. He saved Noah and his family, and that was it. It started all. God had had enough. And I'm thinking today, when is God going to say enough's enough again? But it won't be by flood this time. The Jews would be God's chosen people to bring the Savior into the world. That was a promise he made to them. And he brought Jesus into through the Jews. God's chosen people. That didn't mean that they were special to get special favors and all that. They were chosen for a job, for a task to bring the Savior into the world. And they have fallen short since. Now God will use them again in the end times. And of course the church won't be here then. But he made his promise. God's people made some covenants between each other. Abraham and his servant made a covenant to go find a wife for Isaac. You know, he sent his servant out to find a wife for Isaac. Isaac and Abimelech made a covenant of peace. Many Old Testament covenants. Jacob and his sons. Joseph and his brothers. You know, he made a covenant with his brothers after they had done him in. And then years later they showed up for food and told him who he was. And he promised to take care of him. Jonathan with his father, Jonathan with his dad Saul, had made a covenant. As men made these covenants and promises with each other, the name of God became associated with these covenants because he was witness to them. It says, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:23, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth." Galatians 1:20, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not." We are to keep all oaths and promises. I made a promise to God when he called me that I would serve him the rest of the days of my life and that I would preach as long as he made me able. I'll be 79 this year. Here I am, folks. I'm still going at it. Over 40 years. That's a promise I made. Now, I've retired a couple of times, but I never quit preaching. When we accept Christ, we make promises to God. It's not just to be saved. It is when we say we take him on as our Savior, we also take him on as our Lord. Lord means he's in charge. He's the master. And we say we're going to serve him. Are we keeping those today? Are we keeping our promise to him? Are we serving him? Also, we're to love him supremely. We're to love him above everything else. We're to live for him. All of our life is to be lived for him. We're to witness for him. We're to be a witness for him, not only in our lifestyle and the way that we live and the examples we set, but also with our tongue. We're to repent, and we're to be faithful to him. When we're married, we're to be faithful to our mate, what does it say, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, sickness and in health. My mother, some years ago, my dad had a situation. She was taking care of him. He had been without oxygen to his brain for a few minutes, and of course, he had no short-term memory. And my mother took care of him for 11 years, but she was having to have a knee replacement surgery. So my wife and I had taken some vacation, and so my wife stayed and took care of my dad, and I was at the hospital with my mom. And, you know, they come in, the nurse and all, and they come in there, and they, you know, now, I don't know if you know, because there's been some accidents before, now, whatever they're going to operate on, they mark it, you know, because they've taken the wrong leg or the wrong arm or something like, yeah, that's happened. So they write on there, they wrote on what right down there what knee was going to be operated on. And they were talking to my mother, and she was talking to them, and she had was telling them that she'd been married almost 60 years then. And so one of the nurses said, well, that's remarkable. And my mother said, she said, when I said I do, I meant it. You mean it. You mean it when you make those promises. Sometimes we've made promises to our children. If we make a promise to a child for something, we need to keep it. If we make promises to a friend, we need to keep those. Promises in business. You know, that's something you got to, shady business today. You know, got to watch out. But you always look for business people that you know you can trust upon, and they will come through. Do not swear. The real meaning is to swear not at all. Curse not at all. Do not curse or swear by anything. This is what Jesus says. Swear not, because all things are sacred. Heaven is God's throne. The earth is his footstool. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. You know, someday Jesus is going to come back and rule from there. Swear not, because all power belongs to God. Man does not really have the power to keep his oaths. The only power that we have to keep them is through the Holy Spirit indwelling in our lives. Cursing God is a terrible sin. Profanity is not acceptable to God. When I was in seminary, I learned this story. There was a professor there. I didn't take Hebrew, but his name was Dr. Scoggins, and he was a professor of Hebrew at the seminary. And they say that one day, you know, Dr. Scoggins, he looked like a rabbi, you know, the beard and all that stuff, you know, but he was playing golf with one of the students there. And you see, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary is on what used to be the old school. Oh, I got to remember. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, they moved to Winston-Salem. And so they had, was a golf course there, you know, because they have play golf team. So they were playing golf, and you always put group up with a foursome. So there was these other two fellows playing with Dr. Scoggins and this student. And this guy's, and I play golf with some of these fellows too. Every time he made a bad shot, he blamed God. You know how that goes. So along somewhere about towards the end, I know somebody looked at Dr. Scoggins and wanted to know what he did. And he told him, he says, I'm a professor here at the seminary. And the fellow says, well, excuse me, I apologize. I hope I didn't offend you with my language. And Dr. Scoggins says, if it didn't offend God, then it didn't offend me. Amen. It offends God. Profanity, unfortunately, is acceptable in our society today. You see it everywhere you go, out in the public. You see it on the TV. You hear it in the movies. Let me tell you something. A lot of the movies that come out today, I won't watch. A lot of it is because of the language, of course, and the sex also. But it's just so much of that that you hear it everywhere. Those that use foul words seldom think about the seriousness of it. They think it's okay. Exodus 27, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. When I hear him taking the Lord's name, I hear him using Jesus' name and so forth and all. And I had before I went into the ministry, my last job, I worked for a small chemical company in Norfolk. And the owner of the company, the president and the vice president of the company were Jews. They were Jewish. And the son, the vice president, sometimes would use Jesus' name in vain. You know what I'd tell him? I said, there you go again, calling a stranger for help. It's a stranger to him, but he used his name. The Pharisees perverted oaths. An oath with God's name in it was binding. But they had a little trick. If God's name was not used, then they didn't have to be truthful and didn't feel obligated whatsoever. Jesus is teaching on our conversation. The only one ideal oath and guarantee for man is his word. His word should arise from his character. It should be the only oath and guarantee he needs. You know the saying today that you can't take people at their word like you used to? Man's word is not that good. It's because a lot of it has failed. Truth is absolute. A Christian should be truthful in their speech. There should be no need for an oath. And let your yeas be yeas and your noes be noes. God cannot be compartmentalized. Some people think there's one language for church. They think there's another for the workplace, another for the factory, another for the shipyard, another for the office. Watch your words. I'm a John Wayne fan. I watch all the John Wayne movies when they come on. In fact, I have Turner Classic Movie because it has no commercials in it. And I can go through 2 weeks ahead and any John Wayne movies coming up, I record them. I have a bunch of DVDs with John Wayne movies on them. In fact, I just watched, was it last night or the night before last? She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, if you're familiar with that one. And in that movie, there's Victor McLaughlin plays the top sergeant. And the troops are getting ready to go out. And there's going to be a couple of women that are going to accompany them. They're going to take them to somewhere to send them off. And Victor McLaughlin is walking up and down looking at the troops. And he says, there's going to be women with us today. Watch them words. Watch them words. We need to watch them words all the time. Whether women are present or not, or men are present, whatever it may be, or wherever we may be. We need to watch those words. Not one standard for the church and another for the business world. All words are spoken in the presence of God. Society has come to accept in it. We've had one past president was convicted of perjury. We won't get into that. But politics, lying is acceptable. I'm glad when nobody's running for anything because I don't have to put up with it. There was a busload of politicians headed to a convention, and there was highway construction. They had to take a detour down a rural road. The bus driver lost control due to windy conditions, went through a fence and crashed into a tree in a farmer's field. The farmer came along and noticed the hole in his fence. He investigated and saw what had happened. He went back to his truck, got a shovel, and buried the politicians. A state trooper was sent out because the politicians never showed up. He found the wrecked bus in the field. He looked up the farmer who owned the field, asked the farmer where the politicians had gone. He told the trooper he had buried them all. You didn't call the coroner? Some of them may have not been dead. The old farmer replied, well, some of them kept saying they weren't dead, but you know how them politicians lie. I have this one for you. How can you tell if a politician is lying? His lips is moving. Business practices. It's okay to lie or mislead in order to sell your product. Ever notice how the meal you get in a restaurant usually looks nothing like the picture in the advertisement or on the menu? All the time. A wealthy businessman, very ill, told the preacher if God would heal him, he would give $1 million to the church. Miraculously, the man got better. Preacher bumped into him one day on the street one day. Haven't received the money you promised yet. Did I say that? I guess that shows just how sick I really was. Truth begins in here, begins in the heart. As one lets Christ cleanse their heart, they learn to be truthful. I had a situation. I had a home in Churchland in Portsmouth, and I went to church in Northern Virginia, so I rented the house out, and the people that I had rented the house set to, in fact, it was a lady, was a lieutenant commander in the Navy, and she took a 2-year lease, but after about a year, she had to, got transferred, so I had to let her out of the lease. So put it up. So I decided, me and the wife, the wife wanted to rent it out again. I wanted to sell it. So the real estate agent told me, says, just put it up, rent or sell, whichever comes first. Sale came first. And so we were at the real estate office for the closing. And, of course, the buyer and their agent had gone for a walkthrough through the house before they came to the closing. Of all things, the heat and air conditioning system wasn't working. It was new and it was under warranty. It hadn't been long reinstalled. So they came in, and then they wanted to either hold up the closing or me to give them some extra money. And I said, wait a minute. I told them, listen, that's under warranty. I said, I'll call them, and I said, they'll get to come out and check it out and fix it. And they were still quabbling in the... My real estate agent says, Reverend Hughes is a man of his word, and if he says it's going to be fixed, it's going to be fixed. Oh, I felt good. And I got it fixed. There was no more question about it. But you see, you got to live so that people will know that you can be trusted at your word. In Korea, some years ago, Army intelligence officers found an interesting fact in the use of the polygraph. We call that the lie detector. The lie detector worked best on those who had much contact with the Christian faith. But those who knew nothing of Christianity seemed to be able to lie without guilt. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. John 14:6, he said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is, he is the life. He is the Savior. What did he say time and time again in his ministry? I had the power to lay down my life. I had the power to pick it up again. Creation. We were made for him and by him. He's our creator. He is the life. He is the key to eternal life. He holds that. When we give our lives to him, he holds us to that day that we walk into eternity with him and to his Father. Do you know him today? Are you keeping your commitments to him? Are you being truthful in your living? Do you know him without a doubt? If not, you can receive him today as we do our hymn of invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' words today. And we know his words are true. And we know that our words must be true. That we must be truthful with one another, because we know that you know what's in our heart and you know whether we're being truthful or not. And we pray that as we go each day, we think about that and that we think before we say, and we not fly off the handle, but be honest in all that we do and say. Anyone here today is not sure about their salvation or has not yet accepted Jesus, would use this time to come forward and say, yes, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for those sins and arose from the grave to give me eternal life. I want to commit myself to him for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 483, the Savior is waiting. One thing I didn't tell you this morning, would think is an old saying when talking about your mouth and your tongue that my father-in-law taught me years and years ago. Don't let your alligator mouth overload your hummingbird tail. All right. I'm going to go to this door and I'll have the benediction. My turn to be at this door. So let me get there and I'll do the benediction and I'll see those going out that door today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the songs. We thank you for the fellowship. And may we keep that in our hearts as we go out of the world and remember we're ambassadors for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep us till we come back together, for we go in his holy and precious name. Amen.